If I could put a title to what I'd like to share with you tonight, it would be Pass It Down. And I'd like to draw you a little mental picture. When I was a boy living at home, there were eight of us there, six children and mom and dad. So when it came mealtime, that's quite a few people around the table. So Dad built a wooden bench that he put back on the back side of the table, and about four of us would always sit back there. Well, when Mom would bring the serving bowls and set them on the table, you know, it wasn't enough for my brother at the other end of that table to just take and serve himself up and then set the bowl down. What I wanted was him to pass it on down. Come on, pass it on around here. You know, time can pass and we forget about people. Some of you younger ones won't know this person. But Brother Sam Abbott, many years ago, Sister Maxine, maybe Sister Vicky will remember, his wife died and he was an elderly minister. He came to visit us when we lived in Missouri. Stayed overnight. The next morning at breakfast time, he sat on the end of the bench with us boys, and Mom brings out the food, and she sets a plate of eggs, the plate of eggs that she had made for everyone. She set it in front of him and said, "Help yourself." And he probably came from a little family or something, because he just kind of took it as a challenge. He looked at it and he said, "I don't know if I can eat all these or not." But he just took his fork and he got started. So that was the end of the eggs for us. He didn't pass it down. So I'm thinking about how important it is. That's temporal things. There's the rest of the story, but I won't tell it here. Though in temporal things, if we were at the table, we would like for, if I'm at the other end of the table, when you get it, pass it on down to me. Well, what I'm interested in tonight is talking to you about spiritual things and how important it is when we have received that we are ready to give it again. I want it to be a spiritual challenge for me. I enjoy salvation. I am very happy to be a partaker, but I want to pass it down. And I would like to start first in taking a look at an event in Daniel, the fourth chapter. This tells us about Nebuchadnezzar and how the Lord dealt with him. The Lord gave him a vision, gave him a dream, and he could not tell what it meant. And Daniel comes to him in this fourth chapter, and he tells him what that, and it was one serious future for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, for 7 years, you're going to live out in a field and eat grass like a cow. At the end of that 7 years, you can be brought back again. Can you imagine what that would be? What kind of a thought that would be. But Daniel was telling him, you know, there is a chance that if you would turn and change from who you are now, that the Lord would repent of that and you wouldn't have to go through it. But you remember in this chapter, it goes on down and it says a year passed by and Nebuchadnezzar probably forgot about the dream. It says he's walking there in his palace and he says, "Is not this great Babylon that I've been able to build by my own power?" And at that instant, it changed for him. And he spent those 7 years out in the field. That story is amazing to me. You know, it tells us that God sets up kings and he takes down kings. And in that story, it tells us he sets them up, he takes them down, and he sets them back up again. That is amazing to me that at that story, you know, those people had to walk his... People that were under him before had to have walked by the field and saw him out there for 7 years eating grass. But I would like to look at something. At the end of this time, after God has done his dealings with him, in the 34th verse, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me." Can you imagine what that is? God is able to take away our ability to think and change us to act like an animal for 7 years and return my understanding returned unto me. That is an amazing story. And here's what he did with that understanding returning to him. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? 36th verse, and at the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned to me. My counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now this 37th verse, we heard the other day of the word extol. Nebuchadnezzar is ready to extol. It's more than just a thanksgiving. He's ready to praise the Lord. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So if we could take a look at this table that I'm talking about, he has just been served up a dish, and he is now extolling. He is praising and honoring God. But what I'd like to think about is the importance of passing it down. Now, we don't know what all happened in between the fourth chapter and the fifth chapter, but we understand in the fifth chapter, Belshazzar now is the king, and we understand that this is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. And there's a feast going on in the fifth chapter, and it says in the fourth verse, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, brass, iron, wood, and stone. And they back up just a little bit. He went in and he took the gold cups. He took the things that had been used in the temple. Third verse, then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar passed it down because our children have to make a choice of their own what they do with the things that we pass to them. But I would like to make sure in my future that the lack of being passed down is not because I didn't pass it down, but that it would have to be just a choice of it being rejected. Because I look at the seriousness here, what Nebuchadnezzar had passed to him from the Lord and his grandson. And what I want to think from this for a little bit tonight is we can lose so much in one generation if we don't pass it down, if we don't move it from one generation to another. Reverence for God. You know, it looks like it would. Nebuchadnezzar would have been able to tell his grandson, hey, I want to tell you something. I was out there for 7 years like a cow because of this great God of heaven humbling me. Somehow it passed down to him. But his grandson had lost respect, reverence for who God was. For us today, I think about the scriptures that stress the importance of us passing it down. You know, first of all, for me to get it for myself, it's not enough for me to tell my children, do as I say, but don't do as I do. I drive home from here, and I pass a sign just before the Guthrie exit. It says, time to talk to your children about underage drinking. And I thought, wait a minute. They got a word in there, extra. It's not about underage drinking. Dad, talk to your children about drinking. So what that's kind of saying is, Dad's saying, look now, son, hold off for a little while until you get to the age to drink. Maybe I'm drinking, but I want you to wait until you can. Folks, that's not passing down much right there. But our world is that way. Children, you see me smoking, but I don't want you to smoke until you get a little bit older. Now, wait a minute. Let's have something that we can pass down to them. I don't do those things for this reason. Folks, I want our children to be able to see I don't go to those places. I don't talk about those things. I don't associate with those. I want to have something to pass down to another generation. So I want to go to some places in Psalms. I want to start in Psalms 145 and start in the first verse. This is a psalm of praise from David. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now, you know, he's talking about something he can pass down to another generation. It says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. To be able to pass down what the Lord has given us in the past, there's another verse, Psalms 78 and 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. You know, something that the Lord gave instruction way back there, one place of it is in Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter. When Moses was given some instruction from God to the people, Deuteronomy 6, the importance of passing down. Deuteronomy 6 and 6. These words which I command thee this day, let them be in your heart. So I don't want it to be that I'm going to pass down something that I don't have myself. I have not experienced it myself, but it would be good for my children to do it. But I want to have it in my heart first. And then it says, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. I look at this and it's telling, I need to pass something down to my children. But it's also telling me first that I need to be a partaker. I need to bind them upon my hand. I need to have it as frontlets between my eyes. I want my family, that's the first place of our mission field. I want my children, you know, now we're talking about grandchildren. I want them to be able to see by example that I love this way. I enjoy what we're doing. It's not about rules that if you don't want to go to hell, then you better do these things. No, I want to be able to pass down the enjoyment that there is in serving the Lord. We talked yesterday in the service about monuments. You know, the Lord realized the value of monuments way back in the Old Testament even. I'd like to look at a place, one of them that we looked at, that I looked at was in Joshua. Because it was something that he wanted him to be able to pass along that another generation would be able to see it. This is in Joshua 4. Some instruction was given to him. 4th chapter and the 2nd verse of Joshua. They're going to cross over the Jordan River. It's going to be an event. And they're probably going to be able to remember it for quite some time. But you know how our memory is. After a while, other things we're remembering and we can forget some of those things of the past. He doesn't want that to happen. So he's telling them in the 3rd verse, well, 2nd verse, he's telling them to take 12 men. And as they're going through the river, those 12 men pick up a stone and carry it out to the other side and put them up. 5th verse, take you every man a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes, because it's going to be a sign for you, looking at 6th verse, among you that when your children ask, see, that's been many years has passed now since we walked across the Jordan River on dry land. When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? we keep passing by here and we see this pile of stones and you're saying it's a memorial for something. What is it about? And then you be able to point back to when God helped us to be able to get across. What mean you by these? And then you start telling the children, your children, answer them in the seventh verse, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So I was looking at that. We need to have some places that we pass down to our children. That's a remembrance, that they be able to remember the things that God has done for us. There is, in 1 Samuel, there was another event where there was a memorial put up. 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, and the 8th verse. Children of Israel had walked away from God. Now they're coming back to repent. And when they are repenting with Samuel, the Philistines hear about children of Israel are gathering together. So we're going to go make war with them. And it says in the 8th verse, the children of Israel cried, said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And 9th verse, Samuel took a lamb, offered it for a burnt offering. He cried unto the Lord heard him. As Samuel, 10th verse, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. So it goes down in the 12th verse, Samuel took a stone and he set it up. He called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The people that were in that, the people that had repented and the Lord helped them, they probably would remember it for a long time. But here's a stone now that we will be able to pass it on longer, something that is more solid than just my memory, because my memory can fade from me. But I'm thinking of the importance of me showing to my children how much I enjoy living for the Lord. Yes. That is the best stone that I can leave for them. God has helped me in the past, and he's able to help them also. So to do that, I'm going to have to live a life that as they watch it, they see that I enjoy it. So I'd like to give you a few scriptures that help us with that. In Psalms, I want them to be able to see this. In Psalms 27 and 8, when thou saidst, seek my face, yes, my heart said, now you know who's going to know that the best besides me is those around me.
Yes.
When you said, seek my face, but I was busy on so many other things, others are going to be able to tell it. But I want this to be something that I pass down, that not just by my words I say I am living real close to the Lord, but by the relationship that I have with the Lord.
Yes.
When thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's what I want to be able to pass down to my children. 42 and 1. As the heart... You know who's going to know what my desires and the things that I enjoy the most? It's going to be those around me. As the heart panteth after the water brooks. You know, the world around us has got a lot of things that they're going after. Right now, sports is shut down. They haven't played games, as far as I know, with full stadiums for a long time now. But in our elevators at work, they have a TV monitor in every elevator. Now, why you need to watch it for the 10 seconds between you getting on and getting off at the next floor is amazing to me. But they do it. And what do they play? Football games with crowds of people. And I say, wait a minute. This is some old stuff right here. They're not playing those games, really. But that's where the interest is of people. Why would they have put that in an elevator and put it on that channel if it wasn't that that's the most interesting thing to them? Which really, I'm not into sports, So I'm glad they do that instead of politics. I'm glad they don't have, because it, I'm glad it doesn't get, well, I think they chose that because they don't want people to get worked up in the elevator if you were on two different sides there. So they put something on that should be kind of mutual. If you don't like this team, then get off the elevator. But they, it's less pressure than the other. But it tells where people's heart is. And I think of this verse, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. You ever had a time when you're working hard and you haven't had time to stop and even drink water? And you realize, my mouth is so dry. If I could just get a drink, I don't want to eat anything. I don't want soda pop. I don't want lemonade. I don't want anything but some water. Just give me some water. This is where his soul is. Lord, I am desiring to be with you again. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Lord, help me that I would be able to pass down by example that I have a strong desire to meet up with the Lord. You know, one of those places, just what we've been hearing tonight, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let's come together and let it be this strong desire. You know what, as I'm raising children and grandchildren, they're watching. There's going to be times where I have to miss, but Lord, help it to be that over the span of a long time, they understand, ooh, this is where their heart is. When shall I get to come and appear before God as the heart panteth? And then the verse, Lord, I want you to lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. We're in troubled times, and there is all around us people that are not real sure what the future holds. It is so important for us to pass down to them that we know who holds the future. We don't know what's going to happen in November, and we don't know what's going to come from the virus thing. But whatever does come, we serve a God that knows all things, and he allows things. He allowed Job, a perfect and an upright man, to have adversity come into his life. You know, how could you ever explain that one away? Except that when we have trouble come into our life, that my family and those around me, those that I work with, will know that there comes a time where I put myself into God's hands. I have had at work times before whenever I was having trouble physically, having heart problems, and my boss asked me, said, come up, I want to talk to you. And I was having an irregular heartbeat. And so he said, I want you to tell me right now what is happening to you right now. And so I just put my finger up here on my pulse, and I said, okay, it's beating. Okay, now it stopped. Okay, now it started again. He said, get to the hospital. You've got to have some help soon. And, you know, I could have told him, nope, I'm not going to the doctor. They're no good. You know what? That's not enough. Here's what I told him. I'm headed for eternity. Yes. Really, all of us are. And I'm asking God to put into my life the things that will give me the best chance to make it there. And possibly this is it. You know what? People may not understand everything, but it brought a seriousness to him. They may not agree with us, but when we can tell them that, because you know what? Everybody, somewhere in their back of their mind, they realize eternity is out ahead. Many may say you make a profession of Christ, you make a decision for Christ, and you're guaranteed heaven. But when you can tell them, it's serious enough that I want to give God some places in my life that he can touch me. And really, health is one of the best places that he can do it. He can get our attention with health almost faster than anything else. And so I want to be able to, those that I work with, I want to pass it down. And I want to pass it down in a way that they understand This is not a fanatical movement that says, oh, we're kicking you out if you don't trust the Lord. But what it's about is saying, I'm starting to find a relationship with God that I can tell him, Lord, send into my life whatever you need to. And you know what? It may not even be about me. When I have a family and I have grandchildren, and not just my immediate family, but what about when it flows on out to other people that know me? Is God able to touch my life and I can never figure out why it has to be? But to be able to trust God to know, you know what, he may be touching somebody else if I will be faithful with going through what, it doesn't have to be health. It could be any other thing. It could be when they watch us with when opposition comes against us. I would like for us to remember tonight that the world is watching. And we don't want to just, okay, I'm going to be strong myself. No, I want the Lord to flow through me and I be able to be the example that I should be. So we're not just dealing with health. We're dealing with times when someone would oppose us, someone would come against us. There's people watching. May my life be an example that I'm passing the dish of salvation down to them and saying, you know what? It makes a difference in your life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The best way for me to tell others about that is to show them by my life. I have tasted and it's very good. There's a song that we sing. Every need he is supplying. Plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Isaiah 12 and 3, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know what? The world around us is watching. Am I drawing water with joy? Or is it just, I want to make heaven. I don't want to be lost. But this is a dismal places that I'm going through. May I be able to, the one verse that says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That I would be able to realize they're working something in my life. And I'd be able to pass it down to others. There's another verse of a song. Are you adorning the doctrine and making attractive the way? You know, we don't have to stoop down to take in the world to make religion attractive to the world. That's right. It can be attractive when they see God is able to work through their life in the things that we can't do on our own to be able to live for him. Psalms 1 and 1, where it tells us about the man, blessed is the man that's making some decisions in his life. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't sit where sinners sit. Let's take a look at that. The seat of the scornful. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But here's what his delight is. Yes. You know, it would be good for me to sometimes check and really have to ask the Lord, because it's every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But ask the Lord, Lord, you see down in my heart, what brings the most delight to me? Is it spiritual things? This one says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law, he meditates day and night. And it says that there's going to be some good benefits come. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Another verse, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. We sing a song, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. With his manna he doth feed, and he supplieth every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. That call for that comes in Revelations, and it's available to every one of us. And it's not just on the day of salvation. In the third chapter and the 20th verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, and he with me. I'd like to take that verse that it's not just on the day of salvation. It's every day after that. And I can get so busy with temporal things when every day he gives me this opportunity. I'm standing at your door knocking. Just like to be able to visit with you. Lord, help me to carve out more time for him. Because those around me will be the best ones to be able to recognize that I'm walking close to God. I was thinking about Sister Margaret Eck's book, Lest We Forget.
Yes.
It was a monument that was put in a book form that they would down the road be able to remember the Lord did this for us. It was that Ebenezer stone. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Want to enjoy salvation for myself, and then I want to pass it along. There is one more song that I thought of. Some say this great salvation will stop all their good times. They must not do a thing but sing and pray. We do just what we want to. You know, that's what we're doing here tonight.
Yes.
We could have everyone stayed home tonight. We do just what we want to. We go wherever we please.
Yes.
And that is what we're doing here today. Joshua told the people, you choose this day whom you're going to serve.
Yes.
And he gave them opportunity. He reminded them, you can serve the gods that are on this side of the flood.
Yes.
But I want to tell you something. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. A choice that we make. With the world pressing in around us, I would like for myself to give God more room in my life. I can do that by giving him more time, giving him more of my thinking time, because our minds are going all the time. They're thinking about something. And the world would like to, if even over the next 3 months, if it did nothing more than filled our mind with political events, we're in trouble. But we're going to have to, in these days that we're living in, to push the world back and say, Lord, whatever happens in the future, it's in your hands. Because Carl Miles tonight is not worried about who will be the next president. He's not worried about any of the political events that are going on today. Brother Lauren is not interested in politics tonight. When we leave this life, we will not be either. So Lord, help us as I go through this life that I do not let anything cause me to miss it in the end. The devil has a plan. I want to tell you, there's going to be people that will be lost by the very things that are happening in our nation today. And I can let my mind get worked up on those things and churning, and my day is coming closer and closer. I must have my mind stayed on the Lord. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. And you know what? Who's going to know whether I have perfect peace or not? Those around me. And it won't be just my children and my wife. It's going to be those that I work with. And I say, Lord, help me to pass it down. I desire your prayers.